$500, but the Lord has blessed us so far. We have $1,125 in donations. So if God places it on your heart, if you're in a position to do so, if you can give anything towards it, so we only need another $3,400. Amen. So anybody, why don't we just end this? Who got $3,400? Well, we won't end this. Amen. But anyone, if you have God has blessed you to be in a position to give, give. Amen. Nevertheless, we know that the work of God will go on one way or the other. Amen. And then I stepped out with my own faith and I trusted you all going to help. So I already ordered all the stuff.
Amen.
So I don't want this to all come out of my pocket. So now we in the beginning of night. No. Amen. Let us stand for our scripture reading. God blesses you, or if you're in a position to do so, but do not put yourself in any hardship. Amen. One thing I believe is church should be a place where we come to for rest, for solace. Amen. Where we can come to for spiritual health. And church should not be a burden on the saints. Amen. So we just pray that God blesses you to do so. If not, we know God will always make a way. That's one thing I know for sure. God will always make a way. So we're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from Joshua. Amen. Joshua, the 24th chapter. Where in the world is the St. Joseph at? No, it's the St. Joseph Church. I don't think there's no St. Joseph in the Bible. Amen. We're going to read from Joshua chapter 24, and we're going to read verses 6 through 15. Amen. Joshua chapter 24, verses 6 through 15. If we all have it, can we say amen?
Amen.
And for those who do not have it, it is on the screen. Amen. So let us begin. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers, chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, amen, nothing like heaven to see. And when you're in trouble, you can call on him. And he'll come and see about you. They cried unto the Lord. He put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen. Your eyes have
seen.
Hallelujah. I didn't hear about it. Your eyes have seen what I've done in Egypt. And you dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you to the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan. And they fought with you. And I gave them into your hand, that ye might possess their land. And I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I will not hearken unto you. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know? Hallelujah, that if God be for you, hey, not even the demons in hell can put a curse on you. If God be for you, no man can curse you. He said, he hearkened, but I hearkened not unto him, and therefore he blessed you. So the enemy tried to curse you. But God was fighting your battle. He said, I blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and I delivered them. And God before you. God is fighting the battle. They can come against you one way, the Bible said they're going to flee seven, because the Lord is fighting for you. And I sent hornets before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye with your father served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve me the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me, can we realize it? But as for me and my house, we will serve. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word in the church, then.
Word of the Lord.
Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. So, Joshua calls all Israel together, and he reminds them of what God has already done. Anybody got some testimonies on what God has already done? Hallelujah, how God has delivered. Now, you know, it's in every situation. He said, you didn't do it, but I did. He said, I went before you. I sent carnage before you. I delivered. I made all these ways for you out of no way. Amen. And then he drops down into the 14th verse. He said, now, therefore, fear. After I look back and see all that God has done, all the ways that God has made. Amen. If the enemy had his way, guess what? None of us would be here tonight. If the devil had his way, he would have destroyed all of us while we were not yet saved. And on our way to hell, how many know God stepped in, hallelujah, and rescued us when we needed to be rescued. So he said that after all that God has done, has God done anything for anybody tonight? Let's give God a hand. Come on, has God done anything? Has God delivered? Has God made ways out of no way? Has he been a savior? Has he been a keeper? Has he been a personal God? Has God been with you when others let you down? Has God been there when others fell? Has God been good to you? Yes, Lord. I said, God's been good to me. Amen. When nobody else can help me, God help me. When nobody else can bless me, God bless me. When they try to close the door, God said, I open the door for you. And anybody knowing God that opens the doors and man is trying to close them, but God wouldn't let it close. Hallelujah. God said, I'm God and I'm God all by myself. I don't need no help from anybody else. So God. If I want to be right with God, does anybody really want to just be right with God? Yeah. The difference between doing right and being right is doing right all the way in China and out in the backwoods in the cave. And someone tells me to sin, but I won't sin because I want to be right with God. So even though nobody in China knows me, I don't know their language, I don't even know who they're saying, I'm going to do the right thing because I want to be right with God. Now, when you want to be right, all you want to do is always fit in. So you don't want to ruffle no feathers. Amen. You don't want to offend anyone because you want everybody to accept you. Amen. Is it goody goody? Well, the Bible says, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. I don't want to be right because that means I'm trying to please an individual. I want to do right. Anybody want to just do the right thing? All right, Galatians chapter 1, and let's drop down to verse 10. So there is a tremendous difference between doing right and being right. Amen? If I do right, I've got God on my mind. When I do right, everything I do is before God, so that I can do the things that are pleasing in His sight. But when I want to be right, I'm trying to please an individual. Amen. And that's not the way God planned it. So Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, do we all have that?
Amen.
Paul reads, For do I now persuade men? Who am I trying to please? Who am I trying to persuade? Am I trying to persuade men or am I trying to persuade God? He said, do I seek to please men? Do I seek to please men or do I seek to please God? If I want to do the right thing, I want to please God. If I want to be right, I want to please men. Don't mess up. Do right, God. Be right, men. Y'all got it? No, you don't talk to each other. Don't talk to the wife. Okay. Yet. So do right is to who?
God.
Be right is to? It's the man. And we'll go over some scriptures. So he goes on and says, do you want to please men? He says, if I yet seek to please men, I should not be the
servant of Christ.
Servant of Christ. So who do I seek to please? Who do you seek to please? Do you do what's right before God or what's right before men? So now we go back to Joshua, the 24th chapter. Now Joshua is dealing with them. After God has delivered them, and they're about to go in, they're already in the promised land, and Joshua is about to pass the baton off. But Joshua says something that's kind of strange in them seeking God in sincerity and truth. He says, put away the strange gods. You mean after all God has done, Israel still had idols? Think about it. After all God has done, he said, now you got to put away what? Put away those gods which your father served on. Those were the idols. Those were not the true God. So after God has done all that, they still were entertaining idols. What is an idol? An idol is anything you put before God. That is an idol. I don't care what it is. It could be your clothes, it could be your car, it could be your house, it could be a person. Anything that you have more on your mind or focus more on than God becomes an idol. So God has done all of this. Israel has conquered Jericho, they're in the promised land, but they still have strange gods. So God, he tells them, he said, listen, if you want to serve God, you got to serve him in sincerity and in truth. So a person that does the right thing says, no matter what, I want to serve God in sincerity and in truth. A person that just wants to be right, they will serve God, but it will not be in sincerity and it will not be in truth. Amen. That's an individual that's not trying to sincerely be right before God. They just do enough to be seen because their praise is of men. But it's not unto God. I wanted tonight, if we were to make a self-inspection, okay? Well, I said examine who? Yourself. If we were to examine ourselves tonight, could we honestly say that my desire is to serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth? Amen. Now, a lot of times we say, well, I'm doing the best I can, and I still have some problems. Well, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 7 and 8. We want to be pure. Anybody just want to be pure before God? Amen. Lord, I just want to be right. Lord, it's not about me. Right? There's a way that seemeth right. That's what you want to be right. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of the Bible says is the ways of death. Put that up on the screen for me, Jair, Proverbs 16:25. There's a way that seemeth right. Right? I'm thinking that this is right, but it's what I think. It is not what God says. So there's a way that seemeth. I want to be right, but I want to be right in my eyes, and I want to be right in America and across this world today. People have lost their true spiritual perspective because their whole salvation is based on pleasing man, even to the point of neglecting God. If I yet seek to please men, then I am not a servant. That's so important. If I serve, so if I'm doing everything to please you and I neglect God, how can I be his servant? Because the Bible says in simplicity and in truth, we cannot serve two masters. So I can't serve something else and God. Because that's the way that seeming right. Right? Which is that the way that what? But the end? Then all is the ways of? Come on, y'all are reading this like almost 5 times. You're going to the 6th month of Proverbs. Huh? Me to see it? I don't know what I didn't say, but I'll say it. Right, so we're in the 6th month, 5th month. So we read through this at least 5 times. All right, at least play it on the page. So there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. But the end thereof are the what? The problem is not unto God, it seems right to man. Don't lose your focus. I want to do what's sincere. I want to have a sincere desire to do what's right to before God. Amen. So if nobody else is around, if I'm spending out my hours with a bunch of whatever they are, I still want to do right. So me doing right won't be based on any of you watching me, because the Bible says that he that keepeth Israel, neither slumbers nor. So when I go somewhere, nobody sees me, so I can just lift my head down. Wrong. Because you're doing that to be right. A whole lot of people get baptized because they want to be right. But the difference between being baptized to be right and being baptized to do right is when you get baptized to do right, that's a transformation. And the things I used to do, I don't do no more. The places I used to go, I don't go no more. I don't want to get too personal, but there's a whole new change. And the word that Paul uses for this transformation is the word metamorpho, from when we get our English word, metamorphosis. And when you have a metamorphosis, that means the new transformation has no resemblance to what you were. Because I want to be right. So if I got saved, and I still see stuff as Joshua said, there was on the other side of the flood, on the other side of the transformation. If I still see that, then I'm just trying to be right. I have not yet died to do right. Amen. So, is everybody with me?
Amen.
So, when I want to do right, there is a transformation. There is a change. If nobody else watches me, I want to do right. If nobody else watches me, you know, a lot of times we say, that is a sin. You shouldn't do that, you shouldn't do that. But you look out the corner of your eye, that's being right. Because when you do right, it's wrong, and you turn your back to sin. Ouch. Say ouch.
Ouch.
If you always say amen, say ouch, say something. Right? Don't leave me by myself. But if I want to be and do right, if sin is there, I'm not tempted to sin. I turn away from sin. All right. I'm off course. I didn't give you this. Go to Romans chapter 2. Y'all want to stay with me? Well, I'm going to be there anyway. I even cut out 4 pages of notes. I'm like, I can't do all that one final class. So I cut out 4 pages. All right. Well, you know how it is when God is speaking it directly, you just got to do what's right. All right. So let's go here. So a lot of times we make a mock of sin. We talk about sin. And not doing the wrong thing, but sometimes we get involved with stuff that we know we are not to be involved with. Amen? The scripture says, verse 1 of Romans chapter 2. Do we have it? Now we talk about a sincere desire to be right where? Before God. You know, like growing up, you know, like when you're growing up as a kid. If y'all grow up as kids, if y'all were kids, if y'all y'all grow up as kids, right? You know how we grow up as kids, right? When the parents were watching, you were one way. But when the parents weren't watching, you're another way. And then the teacher sent a note home from school, let's do that, and said, Amen. Well, the only time you have to repent is when you are wrong. So that big difference, and I don't want to go ahead of myself. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll go through this fast. Hey, somebody bring the clock up. All right, let's go to chapter 5. Let's go to verse 6, verse 7 of chapter 5. So now, we don't want to get going around just telling everybody else. My wife was telling me a story some years ago about someone that always talked about everybody else for so long. You know, and this person you would think was holding on the mountaintop until somebody looked into their closet. Right? So the Bible says there's nothing done in secret that shall not eventually be revealed. Nothing you do in the dark that will not be brought to the light. This person that was condemning everybody else was doing 100 times worse and confirmed the word to condemn everybody else. That person just wanted to be right because they didn't realize that God was watching. We want to be right before God. If nobody else ever sees me, I want to be right. If I'm out in the middle of a jungle somewhere, I still want to be right. Because God watches me wherever I am at all times. Amen. The devil is still the devil. And the devil's desire is to trip us up any way he can. Amen. But how many just want to be right? Verse 7 says, purge out therefore thee, O leaven. Leaven always refers to sin. Right? When God delivered Israel out of Egypt, on the Passover, he said, don't have no leaven. He said, because you be sure this, the death angel is passing through the camp. Hallelujah. And if there be sin or anything wrong, the death angel will stop there. But if you don't have no sin, no stuff you're trying to cover, he said, when I see the blood, hear what I want, the death angel just keep passing. Then you gotta purge out. See, nobody knows what I did. God knows. That's the most important thing. What does God know about you that nobody else knows? You gotta be right. So you gotta purge out the old leaven. Amen. That you may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrifice for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. There's a right way to approach God. We can't trick God. We can't fool God. In the book of Proverbs, it says that fools make a mockery out of sin. You know, in other words, this is a fool says, you know, I've been doing it this long and God hasn't done nothing yet, so I'm just going to keep doing it. Right? But the Bible says a fool is said in his heart. Don't play with God. Don't play with God. God is merciful. God is kind. But I heard the scripture say his spirit will not always. Don't send your days and race away. I can do it when I get ready. Purge out the old leaven. It's time to be a new law. So now, when you be right, a person that wants to be right, when they mess up, they feel so bad. Right? You ever mess up, you just feel bad? Right, I do. I mess up. I feel bad. Y'all are going to be like, y'all don't mess up too much. So y'all ain't in the same category. I'm in a different category. So when I mess up, I feel bad. But if I mess up and feel bad and mess up again, that is not repentance. That is regret. I'm sorry I messed up, but I don't have the spiritual transformation not to repeat it. So I did not repent. Because to repent means to confess and forsake. So when I forsake it, if I'm trying, now we're all in over here, right? Yeah. You know, all me is south. Well, you know, okay, all me is south. Santo is north. Forget about the Dulce term. Let's not be politically correct. Let's just roll. All is south. Santo is. If I'm trying to get to St. Albany and I'm going north, the only way that I can go to Albany from San Antonio is I have to do what? I can have every desire in the world to go to Albany. But as long as I keep going the wrong way, I can't make it. Right? So I keep saying Albany is further and further away, but I'm going to Albany. But I can't get to Albany because I'm wrong. So a lot of people are trying to go to heaven, but they're going. And the more they try to go to heaven, the more away from heaven they get because they're going. So the only way I can now get to heaven is I have to. You can't get there. All right, now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And we'll start at verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 7, then we're going to drop down and read verses 9 and 10. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. God's word is full of promises. His word is full of promises for you and for me. They're full of promises. All right? So verse 1 says, having therefore all these promises, all the way from 2 Corinthians 1 all the way up to verse chapter 7, these are the promises. He said, dearly, let us cleanse. Now Paul didn't say cleanse yourselves, but cleanse ourselves. He included himself in the number of those that needed to be. Cleanse ourselves from all. We're going to stop filling the other what? Flesh. Well, why? Because baptism does not now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good. So the flesh is still the flesh. The flesh is still filthy. It still has all this desire. So you have to put away the filthiness of the flesh, right? And he said, so Paul said, let us put away the flesh still has every wrong desire because we were shaken in the word. That's not right. Alright, I already corrected them on that part. We weren't shaken in it, maybe that's a whole different thing. So we'll just go there. But that's what the scripture says. Let's just speak them there. Then we're shaken in iniquity and sin. So, but we were sinners because we were sin. We received our sinful nature from Adam. So we automatically sin. You don't have to teach us to sin because we received that from Adam. So the flesh still has all of these sin desires in it. The only way they don't manifest themselves is you have to keep under your flesh. You have to fast and pray and beat this flesh to keep it under subjection because all those desires are in it. So Paul said, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. And now the filthiness of the flesh is easy because we can tell us about sin and outward. But the filthiness of the spirit, that's undetectable. That's undetectable. You can't tell when somebody got a bad spirit, jealousy, envy, strife, just malice. You can't see that. That is something that is hidden. But Paul said, if we want to be right before God, we have to cleanse ourselves of perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Now you can read in between that. Now just drop down and he's talking about what? The flesh and the spirit. What about the filthiness? And going toward perfection and holiness, holiness is pure living. Holiness is not part-time living. Holiness is full-time living. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, I'm holy because God is
holy.
Because God is holy. And without holiness, somebody says, I don't want to be holy. You don't want to see Because without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. But then if we drop down to verse 9, it says, now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you were sorry to the whole issue. Cleansing the flesh, cleansing the spirit, but you have to do it to repentance. Well, why? Because you can do right or you can be right. Well, what is being right? He says, I prepared for you may start after a godly manner is when you want to do the right thing no matter what. Even if I lose something from man, I don't lose with God. So I'm going to do right if nobody else wants to do right. I'm going to do right. I'm going to make a stand for God. Because that is what kind of sorrow? Godly sorrow. That you might receive damage by us and nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be, but the sorrow of this worketh. So there are two different types of sorrow. There's the sorrow unto God that works repentance so I can be saved. Then there's the sorrow of this world. I'm sorry I got caught. I regret I got caught. Now the sorrow, godly sorrow to be repented of means I don't do it again. The sorrow of this world, I got caught. And again and again. That's not repentance. That's not a desire to be right with God. We're closed in Acts chapter 5. There are many other scriptures that we could use, but kids are in school. After they graduate in summertime, we can take more. Right? All right. Acts chapter 5. All right, we'll skip the rest of this. But we're talking about now. Many times we don't think God can see us. Right? We think we do stuff and it's foreign to God. We do things and we say, the Lord seeth us not. We think we can do it in the way God knoweth it. It not. But brothers and sisters, I can assure you that God knows everything. Amen. Read these notes. You can read them in your spare time. Read Isaiah 29, verse 13 to 15. Talks about how they brought every mouth to their mouth. But their hearts are if they seek to hide their counsel from the Lord. In other words, they make plans and scheme, they deny and say, God won't know this. God does know. And God is watching you. So God does know, but Ananias and Sapphira, they wanted to be right, but they did not want to do right. They went through all the motions to be like everybody else, but they thought they could do stuff, and God did not know that. Y'all, let's go through this fast. But a certain man in verse 1 named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it and bought a certain part and laid it at the so they had possessions. Nobody told them what to do. But they wanted to look good and everybody else the same. So they sold the land. And when they sold the land, they brought it to the apostles' feet. They said they sold it for $100, but they only bought 75. They said, oh, this is what we've sold, we've given it all. Now, God never told them to do it. This is something that they willingly did because they wanted to seem right. They wanted to look right. But there's a deeper issue when you do something just be seen. God don't need no see me saints. God needs somebody that wants to be right. So verse 3 says, for Peter said, Ananias, how do a sin get involved with this? All we talk about is that they had land and they sold it, but they kept that part, they told a lie. They said, we gave you all. So he said, why is Satan fill thine heart with lies? But they weren't lying to the Holy Ghost. They were talking to Peter and the apostles. So how in the world is Satan and the Holy Ghost get all involved with this? Because we're all holiness. And God looks beyond what everybody else sees. So in everybody else's sight, Ananias and Sapphira were doing a great thing. But God knew they were scheming and conniving. Then he had another motive. Right, so he said, you know what? Your situation is so bad, Satan has filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost. That's a serious issue. And to keep that part of the price, Peter reasoned with it. He said that, and if I'm a man of God, I'm right about that. He said, oh, I'm not the Holy Ghost. Oh, please forgive me. Now, serious. You lied to the Holy Ghost and Satan has filled your heart. I'm going to fill right there. Lord, forgive me right there. I don't want to go no further. But Ananias wanted to be right. He just wanted to be Mr. Big Stuff. Don't be Mr. or Mrs. Big Stuff. Be right. He said, while it remained, wasn't it not mine? He said, as long as you own that, that was all yours. He said, an actual soul, was it not in thine? He said, look, you have your right. All you can do is say, I'm going to give you this, but I'm going to keep that. Why? Because it was whose? You have the freedom, you have the choice to do as you please. Hallelujah. He said, well, it was yours, but then you have the freedom to do as you please. He said, why hast thou conceived this thing? You cannot fool God. You can't. Listen, don't do something to be seen, because God sees further than that. He said, why have you conceived this thing in thy heart? He said, you have not. But you lie back to God. That's when you just want to be right. You don't care. You just, you know what? I do what I want to because it's me, and I can do what I want to. Be careful. Because God is watching you. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what the problem with Ananias and Sapphira? The church was watching them. They were the spiritual example. They were leaders. He said, you're doing a great thing, but you're not being honest. You're not doing it in sincerity and you're not doing it in truth. If you don't do it in sincerity and truth, you might as well not to do it at all. He said, you're not lying unto men, but you're lying unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost and great fear came on all them there. He said, wait a minute. All this stuff you've been doing, you haven't been doing it unto men. You've been doing that stuff unto God. Unto God. Salvation is too important to think God won't see us. Salvation is too important to misrepresent what we are and what we do. It's too important to play with God. So Ananias thought he could hide. And said, and the young man arose, bound him up, and carried him out, and this was a serious case. Because they wanted to be right before men. But they were lying to God. Brothers and sisters, don't ever get to that point where you begin to lie to God. Don't misrepresent. Amen. Don't live in hypocrisy, but be right. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, see, they were denied. They denied them. You know how you get the whispers? Do this, do that, do the other. No, nobody can know this. God sees everything. God sees the plan, the scheme, the conniving. God knows your heart. truth. I can't go through the motions and act like I can fool anybody, because I'm not fooling you, but I'm trying to fool God. So if life comes by 3 hours later, still part of the lie, but she didn't know what had already happened to her husband. But you know what's kind of funny? It says, great fear came on everybody else and heard it. Where was she at? I'm just curious. Everybody else had fear. Where was she at? She didn't know what happened. Right? When you do wrong, everything around you knows wrong. But you will miss it. Right? Because you're not connected to God. You will miss it because you're not connected. Amen? And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yeah, so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that ye have? Listen, if somebody is going to lie, sin, or do anything, don't you agree with that? Because the Bible said, be partaker. No man sinned. So let somebody else do all that, but let them do it by them. Time to be a sin and it's wrong to count me out. Right? Proverbs said, don't catch me a lot among them, don't have one purse. Right? If sinners entice thee, send out. Yeah, we use it in words for a proverb. Right? But he said, if they entice you, don't you consent with that. Don't say I'm going to be a part of it, because when you consent, it means you're what? You're in agreement. And as God judges the wrong, he doesn't separate it. He judges everything that's involved with the wrong. Y'all with me? I'm almost finished. He said, how do we agree together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband at the door, and shall carry. My people of Ananias and Sapphira, not one time did they realize they were caught. They didn't realize they were exposed and said, Peter, please ask God to forgive us. Because the plan was so in their heart, they thought they were lying to men. But they lying. We want to serve the Lord now and that's good enough. You understand. In sincerity and in truth. Then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. The young man came in and found her dead and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as. We cannot lie to God. You cannot represent how you're living and think God's going to accept it. The goodness and forbearance of the Lord is intended to lead us to repentance. Tonight is about being sincere. It's about living in truth. If you misrepresent, it's called fame, F-E-I-G-N-E-D, fame living. That is the same as hypocrisy. That means you live one way in front of people, and you live another way then nobody. But the problem is not people. The problem is God. He sees us at all times. It's so important. The Bible says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings. As the elders, the ministers, and all the workers come forward, Lord, I just want to be right. I don't care what anybody else does. I don't care what my best friend does. Even if it's my spouse, if they're living in dishonor and disrespecting you, God, I want to be right. I don't want to be a partaker of their wrong by portraying I'm living one way when in all actuality I'm living another way. How many just want to hear the Lord say, well done, thy good and faithful servant? You cannot be